Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Welcome, citizens, another edition of New Amsterdam Radio. Global Voice, the mayor, hanging with you on this beautiful Thursday morning by the time you hear this one. I hope you're doing very well. Thank you so much for checking the show out. You know, this is the podcast for creatives, thinkers, and doers, much like yourself. And I know you have a lot of options on your podcasting diet. And the fact you said it's Bennett, we're here with me, means a lot to me. NewAmsterdam.com, that's KNWAmsterdam.com, is the way to go to learn more about the show. And if you haven't already, check out that SeatGeek. That's where I get my tickets to all the events all around town. When I'm going to see a music concert, I'm trying to see some sporting events, I use SeatGeek, and you should too, because if you use promo code FLOBITO, that's FLOBITO, you get $20 off your first order. SeatGeek, use it, tell them FLOBITO sent you. Well, for me, I had a whirlwind of a October. In fact, I was on the road for most of it. And even though I've dabbled with doing some shows on the road, I tend to like to record at home in my studio, the mayor's office, if you will. But this episode, I was being a little bit indisposed. You see, I was contracted to host an event at my alma mater in Florida. And so being able to sit and chat with my guest, Hannah Valiette, while on the road was kind of an interesting thing, because we talk about thinking, we talk about thinkers, talk about doers. I was doing, and I was speaking with another doer as well. If you haven't heard of Hannah, Hannah Acosta, she has been so entrenched in the marketing space and the branding space. And I was one to pick her brain about how to make quote unquote boring fields interesting to the uninitiated. See, a long, long time ago, I worked in the test and measurement equipment electrical engineering field. And while the marketing job was inherently valuable, I remember talking about what I did for a living at parties and have everyone's eyes glass over. So Hannah Valiette was definitely a good resource for that. And I could probably use some nuggets of wisdom for your projects or whatever you're working on to make things that may not sound that appealing, relatively speaking, more appealing to someone who may not know about your brand or service. But not to brag, not to flex, but I think it was kind of a fun chat, and hopefully you enjoy it as well. Before we get on to that interview, before we get to that chat, just want to say, if you haven't already, make sure you follow the Orlando Aces Florida Grid Team. New Amsterdam Radio and New Amsterdam Entertainment are proud sponsors of the Grid League. They're undefeated in the regular season. As we record this, the playoffs are next weekend. So they have a chance of making history. And I was so glad that win, lose, or draw, that the show and the brand was a part of that journey. But it'd be extra sweet if they walked away with the dub of all dubs. Florida Grid League is a fantastic sport. People say it's team-based CrossFit, but it's a lot more nuanced than that. Make sure you check it out and support the Orlando Aces if you don't have a team already. All right, enough of me chatting. Let me know about your creative projects by hitting me up at Flobo Boys on X and on that blue sky. Without further ado, my chat with Hannah Valiette. Welcome back, citizens, to another episode of New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for thinkers and doers. And well, my guest does it all the dang time. In fact, I came across an ugly mug media, I said, I know more about this. Please welcome Hannah Valiette to the show. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
You know what? I can't complain. I'm in Florida. I'm actually, I don't know if you can see this on the audio version, I'm wearing the most Florida shirt I can find. It's my minor league baseball team. It's little, like hot dogs on it. Fireworks are on it. I'm being a tourist. And so it's all good. So let's talk business, because business is social media and branding for you. How's that a thing? I know people were talking about the evolution of that as a career path. It seems like you are finding a way to survive and thrive here in 2023.
Yeah, I think if someone would have told me when I was in college that I would be a social media manager, I might think they're a little crazy. It sounded a little taboo at the time. I feel like at the time that social media was really making its emergence while I was in college, it wasn't in the textbooks yet, right? And so there was no playbook on how to really enter into this industry as a profession. There really wasn't a playbook for companies or organizations. It kind of felt like people were just kind of stumbling through it and learning as they went along. But, you know, here we are 10 years later, and it's kind of crazy to see how the industry has evolved as a whole. The different platforms that have been born out of that time period too, you know, of course we started with MySpace and Facebook, and then we got Instagram, and then we grew into TikTok and YouTube, you know, and just all of the things. It really has been a wild ride. And it's fun. In my role, I get to work alongside entrepreneurs and business owners and people that work for large corporations too, that are in that internal marketing department, just seeing how they're navigating this. You know, how can we strategically choose which platforms we want to show up on, how we want to show up on them, you know, creating those branding guidelines and that messaging that's going to clearly reach our target audience. It is quite the puzzle that you have to put together for every unique company.
That's definitely true. I want to know more about that. So like, I was in the social media branding space about 8 years ago, which is like a lifetime, an eternity. I totally understand that. I totally recognize that. Now I'm kind of a broadcaster, a podcaster, master ceremony, and DJ. Trust me, this whole show is not for you to bring you on to brag about me. I'm going somewhere with this. There's always somebody who goes up to me at an event or a wedding or a bar mitzvah and is like, oh, you're DJing today? I used to DJ 10 years ago. How's that going? And I always used to be like, don't be offended. They mean well, but it's kind of a lot more intricate than people give what my craft credit for. I think social media is all on those same lines, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many different components that go into it. And oftentimes people are like, oh, you post pictures and you write a fun little caption with it. And it's really so much more. There's so much intentionality behind the image itself. Or if we're using video, who's in that video, what's featured, the way that we write the copy and the caption is very intentional in order to get people to maybe take action. Or, and that action varies, right? Am I trying to get someone to book or schedule an appointment with a client? Or am I trying to just simply get them to the website to read more information? Am I trying to get them to interact and leave a comment? Is it just something for fun and for giggles that we're just trying to build that relationship? It's so many different things, right? And ultimately, with every single company, everyone has a different goal. I mean, at the end of the day, companies are all like, we're out here trying to make money. So how can we monetize social media? How can we? Yeah, exactly. How can I say, hey, we posted this or implemented this social media strategy and it turned into X amount of dollars revenue? That's what we're all trying to do at the end of the day. I understand that. Right. But the way that we make that happen varies for each company. And so it's really fun to figure out what makes this person's, you know, target audience tick. What is it that's actually going to get them to take action? What are the different pieces and components that we need to put together to make that happen? I really just love it.
So, I mean, I'm a firm believer the best things in life are strictly for the giggles. Let's be real. We're like, you know what? Roll the dice. You know what I mean? It's always a good time. My penultimate marketing job, and I really want your expertise here. I used to be a branding manager for a test and measurement equipment rental agency. Basically, if you were an electrical engineer, you needed like a spectrum analyzers and oscilloscopes. You know what I mean? You go to these companies to rent or lease or buy. And I was the main marketing person for this, branding for that. And it was so much fun to craft a plan. But let's be honest, the test and measurement equipment isn't really fun. Like, it isn't a fashion line. It isn't something like sexy, like a sports car or anything like that. It was kind of a grind to make boring things, quote unquote, fun. What's been your approach in your career?
Yeah, gosh, that's such a great question. And there are so many things, so many industries that I've had the opportunity to market for that I'm like, bankruptcy attorney? Ooh. Like, spicy. How do I make this exciting? Make someone want to interact with this without feeling embarrassed or like maybe I shouldn't click on this, right? I think it's all about going and hanging out in the places where that potential customer hangs out in and seeing the language that they're using. How are they describing their frustrations, maybe with money management in the bankruptcy attorney space? You know, what is it that they're looking for when they're shopping around or looking for a bankruptcy attorney? Or what is it that they need help with? What is it that they're struggling with? In your example, the B2B space is especially challenging because it's like, how do we get in front of the person who is making the decisions on whether to buy this piece of testing equipment or making, needing to rent something, you know, where do we find these people? And so I found that going in places like Reddit and just really trying to deeply understand what it is that these people are ultimately complaining about so that we can better write copy and better craft offers that speak to those things, because people don't buy and they don't rent, right? They don't decide to choose a company because that company says that they're so great, right? Like I don't shop at a store because that store has marketed so well and they're like, we're the best and you should only shop here. Right. Like that's not why we go there. We go there because of reviews. We go there because our friend told us about them. We go there because maybe we saw something that they created that really related and that messaging resonated with us. Right. And it convinced us to want to take action. And so I think the key to those more challenging and challenging in what it is that they're selling, maybe those projects, oftentimes I really start there. I'm like, all right, before I can even dive into this, because it really doesn't seem exciting to me personally, it is important to somebody out there. And so I need to go and find those people and I need to figure out how they talk about this, how this product or service is going to be a solution to the problems or things that they're struggling with. And then that way I can get my head in the right mindset. And then it makes the creating part easier after that. Like once I truly know who that person is, everything after that seems to flow a lot better.
So walk me through the call. Right. You get the call. Well, even if it's B2C or B2B, you get the call. They go, hey, look, we need your help. We love Gladys, but she's posting stock images 2 times a week. Can you come and evaluate our social media strategy? I mean, I bet a lot of egos will get kind of squished when you say what works and what doesn't on something as high impact as return on investment when it comes to branding. Like, how do you navigate the feelings versus like the data that backs up your expertise?
Absolutely. That's really hard. And it's hard when someone has a person internally who's currently doing their social media, or maybe they have a family friend who's helping them out, but they're just not making that connection to return on investment. So ultimately I go at things from very much a data approach. So I'm looking at, all right, how many followers do you have? You know, what kinds of ads are you currently running? Where are you running these ads? Now show me where you would like to see that connection. How much revenue can you currently tell me how much revenue you've generated from leads or customers that have come from Facebook? Or can you show me, like, and if there is a baseline of data, we can say, all right, that's what we're bringing in now. And this is where we want to go. For example, we just did a testimonial video with one of our clients, Meredith. She is the owner of a company called Sweet Baton Rouge, which is located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Meredith had a Pinterest account. It's an apparel line and it's all Louisiana themed. And it's amazing. Actually, one of the shirt that I'm wearing right now is an Ugly Mug branded shirt, but something that she printed for us. So love her products. Anyways, Meredith came to us and she had a Pinterest account. Okay. She made the call. She said, hey, we're on Pinterest. We're posting on here, but I'm not seeing return on investment. And I don't have time to really learn and do all of the things. And this isn't something I really necessarily want to pass off to a team member in house. Can you help me? The answer is yes. Last year, Meredith's revenue from Pinterest organically was around $1,400. She wasn't really doing anything special on it. She was just posting some pictures from time to time. Not really, you know, it's like, hey, $1,400. Sweet. Maybe put a few hours. Yeah. That's been zero, right? Okay. Yeah. This year, Meredith, full strategic plan, a few very minimal paid ads over the course of this year. They're already at just over $11,000 in revenue, which is amazing. Like that growth, like, okay, now we can say this year we generated $11,000. What's realistic for it? What's our goal for next year? Like, we want to make that connection from, hey, this post generated this amount of dollars. It's easy to do with e-commerce, which is in the space that Meredith is in. Where it can get a little bit more challenging is if you are a company or an organization that maybe doesn't have the ability to, for a purchase or a transaction to fully take place online, right? For example, I work with a lot of home services companies. So a lot of HVAC companies, electricians, plumbers, things of that nature. And they really struggle to see that connection too, right? Because they're like, we're posting our HVAC tips and we're posting our tips from our technicians and we're posting about this special offer. But it's really hard to track and see that that customer made the call, booked the appointment. We actually went through with the appointment. They bought a new system or had a tune up, whatever it may be. And so for that, I try and build a strategy that, yeah, there's some brand awareness that needs to happen, right? But there's also that return. So we use a lot of Facebook lead generation forms so that we can track and say, hey, here's the customer's name. We use some automation so that their team gets an alert when that lead comes in through Facebook, then it dumps into their CRM, and then their customer service reps are able to take that information from there. And then we can go at the end of the month and pull a report and say, hey, here we go. Here's the data. Not only did we generate, you know, 150 leads this month, but at least 70 of those turned into paying customers, right? Sure. Like those are the numbers that actually matter. And the other numbers, they can be important and they can be lead indicators to success on social media. But sometimes some of those metrics are just vanity metrics, right? Like if my goal at the end of the day is to get more booked appointments or to get more sales of my t-shirts on Pinterest, like the impressions and the engagement or the reach, sometimes these just don't matter as much, right? And so I think that that's like another thing that people get really hung up on too, is they think that's what matters. Or sometimes they're working with agencies and they're like, oh my gosh, but look how many people we reached. And the person is still just like, but look how little money I have. Like, right?
I paid for my rent with impressions. So it's all good. Impressions pays the bills. It's totally, no, I'm totally with you. But that kind of goes to part two of my question. I mean, as someone on the marketing side, it seems, like, what's your relationship with sales or if the company's big enough inside sales? Like, I feel like sales teams seem to be very intuitive, very based on their personal anecdotal experience. And be like, I know my clients, I know my guys, but you're providing data evidence. I mean, you butt heads? Is this like a tag team effort? Why do you describe the relationship? I know every client's different, but give me a little insight there.
Yeah, for clients that have a sales team, we really want to work in tandem with them. So especially with those HVAC companies and plumbing and electrical, they oftentimes have a full customer service team that ultimately is selling the, like, I'm sending them the lead, but they're doing the follow-up and actually doing the sales. And so early on when we were working with one of our clients, the problem was the lead was coming in, but the follow-up time was slow. And so we were losing the attention of that person. That person filled out that form and they said that they were interested in a $55 furnace tune-up and it's starting to get cold outside. And so the timeliness of that's perfect. They're filling it out. They're saying they're interested, but we're having to wait a week. And by that point, someone has already forgotten that they've reached out and filled out that form on Facebook. It's gone, right? They totally do not remember doing that. Or they found another company that responded sooner. And so what we had to do with them is say, hey, okay, guys, we're pulling the report. We're not seeing a lot of these converting. And I'm going and I'm looking at when the follow-up was happening. And this one was a week later. This person, you couldn't, you know, we listened in on the call and you guys couldn't get them scheduled until 2 months. Nobody's going to be waiting 2 months to get a $55, you know, service tune-up. You know, do we need to check in every week and see what the schedules are looking like for our technicians. You know, what's happening with follow-up time too. You know, we need to be following up same day with these leads. And we have one customer service rep at one of the locations that we work with. And this woman is a machine. I'm like, I want to take whatever it is that she's doing and teach all of our others, like home services clients, how to do what she does, because she's so good at selling on the phone. She is incredibly, I swear to you, the second a lead comes in, she is already dialing out, finding out, like getting their information and scheduling an appointment. I get an email alert every single time she schedules one. And I swear to you, it's like no more than 30 minutes to an hour after that lead came in. Yeah. Scheduled, booked, appointment happening on Friday. Okay, great. You know, and that is where the marketing and the sales teams, I think even internally in larger companies and corporations, they butt heads. They're like, hey, I brought you this lead, but hey, the follow-up time isn't great. Or sometimes sales can come back to marketing teams. And I see this occasionally in the tech world. My husband is in sales himself and was in the tech space for a while. And sometimes marketing would be bringing a lead, but it's not a qualified lead. Right. So then the sales team is feeling that frustration too. And so I think there really needs to be a lot of transparency between sales and marketing. They really work together. Like, you need to be on the same page with the sales team when you are doing marketing in any capacity, whether you're an agency like us or you're doing marketing internally for a company.
I just been a front row seat to so many fights. I'm like, you don't understand, right? You know, the big cartoon dust cloud at the meetings, you know, with the stars and everything. So I totally get that. Yes. And that's a hallmark of corporate things. I wanted to switch gears a little bit. This is for people that are starting out their company or service, or even bigger companies and service, the evolution of the content calendar, right? I felt like 5 years ago, it was kind of like, we did it. And then it was coming as overcorrection. I was like, no, it has to be fluid. You're a news outlet. You got to update every day. And then how fluid, how structured, how rigid, what apps you use, who gets a seat to edit that calendar. What is the theory and execution practice now? And is there still a place for a content calendar and modern branding strategy?
I absolutely think there is a place for a content calendar. We are actually working internally on our content calendar and figuring out the best structure for that, because at the end of the day, social media is oftentimes the first impression, right? So when people come to your page, you want it to look on brand. You want the messaging to be in alignment with the way that your company talks about whatever it is that you sell or provide. And it's important that everything does look clean and consistent branding-wise across the board. And so I think where people have challenges with this is they're trying to show up in too many places. They're trying to be on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, or whatever the heck Twitter is called now. They're trying to be on TikTok. And at the end of the day, they're trying to be in all of these places that maybe they don't need to be in. And so it comes back to knowing exactly who it is that you're trying to speak to and doing a little bit of research on where it is that those people are hanging out. I was just putting a presentation together about home services marketing on Facebook, and the true statistics behind the fact that, yes, these homeowners, these people that we're trying to target, these people that are scheduling these tune-ups or purchasing new home air conditioning systems for their homes and stuff, like, these people are hanging out on Facebook. And so it starts with truly understanding who that person is and then figuring out from there, where do I need to show up? Okay, based on that data, I probably don't need to be on TikTok. I'm not saying those people aren't ever on TikTok or might not occasionally hang out there, but the majority of their time and the bulk amount of those people are actually on Facebook, or they're actually on LinkedIn, or they're actually on Pinterest. And start with a few that you can consistently show up on. You don't have to be in all places initially, right? And that's where the overwhelm happens, especially for people who are just getting started in their business. They're already wearing all of the hats, right? They're the CEO, the CFO, the CMO, you name it. That's the hat that they're wearing. And they don't have time to keep up with all the things. So my advice would be to go look, figure out where those people hang out, pick the platforms that make the most sense. And maybe if there are four platforms that make sense, maybe choose two of those and slowly do grow and develop into the other ones. You'll also find in this development of your content, figuring out where you need to hang out, you'll find those best practices, or you'll figure out very quickly once you start building a following, what time of day is the best to post. You know, there's all kinds of statistics. I won't dive into that, of best times to send emails or best times to post on Facebook or on Instagram and so on and so forth. Sure. But you'll find your own rhythm. And I would say it's better to be consistent than it would be to show up in too many places and be inconsistent. And with that consistency, you'll find too that you can cross promote that same content, the same post that maybe you're putting on Facebook. You can go ahead and schedule on Instagram, change it a little bit so it says, hey, click link in bio instead of clicking the link, because everyone knows you can't click the link in your caption on Instagram. Maybe you need to tweak it a little bit so that it can be sized appropriately image-wise for Pinterest. But you can cross, you don't have to reinvent the wheel is what I'm saying for every single one of those platforms when you're showing up there. You might just be able to tweak the content slightly. And having a calendar allows you to easily and clearly see what's happening for the month. Nobody likes to be stressed and feel like they have to post 17 times a day when they're just getting started with their business. And oftentimes, if you're running ads in addition to posting organically, you don't need to organically post that many times per day. I think stories is a really fun way to pop up and show up organically, but you can have pre-scheduled content for a couple of months at a time, depending on what you're using scheduling wise, that can go out to Pinterest, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and that can help you a lot just knowing, hey, I don't organically have to post today or don't have to post in real time today. I already have something that's scheduled. And being realistic about what you have time to create content-wise and schedule is really important too. So, hey, it's realistic for me to show up on these three platforms twice a week. I'm going to repurpose my content. I'm only going to make reels two times a month because that's what I have time and capacity for. Just being really realistic with those expectations and laying it all out in such a way that you feel confident in your strategy. You know, I always like to use the analogy of also having content categories. So one of my buckets of potential content could be before and after photos. You know, another potential category could be customer testimonials or reviews. You know, another category could be like a product or service spotlight, you know, could be meet the team. And then saying, all right, every Monday for the month of November, I'm going to post a different team member. Every Wednesday, I'm going to post a review. Every Friday, I'm going to highlight a particular service that we offer. That can be like a nice way to kind of break things down on that content calendar too. And then just making note where you are actually going to share that content at.
So what you're saying is if me and the HVAC homies have a dance, put it on TikTok and Facebook, right?
Yes.
I don't have any HVAC homies. I'm sorry. New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. We actually ask all of our guests the following questions, kind of like a lightning round. If you have some time, are you down to indulge me just quite a bit?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So when was the moment in time you decided this was my path?
Ooh. I would say probably 2000 and what was that? 17. I had just run the Chicago Marathon. I was working in, it's been a long time since I've ran since then. Okay. But
I can't, old miles in a row, crazy.
It was a time where I was actually working in the nonprofit space, and I knew that I did not want to stay in the nonprofit world. I was really passionate about the cause. It was cancer research, and I was really passionate about that. But I knew that what I enjoyed about the job was the people and the actual marketing of the event and the creativity around that. And so I was like, how can I take this and pivot a little bit? how, you know, I want to stay in this marketing, like that's the part of this job that I really enjoy. You know, how can I go and grow into that? And our owner and founder, Wayne Mullins, I attribute all of my growth or a lot of my growth over this season to him, because for the last 6 years, I've done nothing but learn and grow about, you know, and helped a lot of companies develop strategies that play to those strengths. And I've really figured out over the last 6 years that this truly is my calling. It just needed that slight pivot to go from nonprofit world to marketing agency. And it really just took off from there. I've really enjoyed the people aspect of my job too. That's, I feel like, a strength of mine, really connecting with my clients and building that relationship. And so, gosh, it's just been so fun. So mark your calendar. It was October of 2017. That's when the transition, the switch happened for me.
Shout out to Wayne, because I'm jealous of the volume of his hair, but neither here nor there. everyone has a travel bucket list. What is on yours? What do you want to go see on the planet?
Ooh, bucket list. Gosh, I crossed a big one off 2 years ago when my husband and I went on our honeymoon. We went to the Maldives. And oh, that wow. was a massive bucket list for me. I think another bucket
list. Was it worth it? Was the Maldives worth it?
It was. Oh, it was 100% worth it. It lived up to all the hype. We loved it. I think another bucket list place for me to travel. We love to travel, but we have a newborn baby. So right now that's a little bit challenging, but yeah. We would really love to make it to Bali. That is next on my bucket list.
So if you got a newborn, so you could travel between the hours of 6:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. every day before it gets up. No, I hear you. That's exactly. Bali, I've heard about, never been myself, but I heard a lot of good things about Bali. Everyone collects something. What does Hannah collect?
Ooh, what do I collect? Oh, gosh.
Pens.
I feel like every time we are really big beach people. Okay. Like I live in North Carolina and I live in Raleigh and everyone's like, this is the best of both worlds. You can go, you can be 2 hours to the beach or 2 hours to the mountains. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm a beach girl. So you'll catch me at the beach. I love collecting seashells from every single place that we go to, when we go to the beach. So I'll just snag a little seashell and I've got like a little jar where I just toss them all in, and it's like a fun little decorative display, but also helps us capture a memory when we go on family vacations together. So we've got them from all over.
Do you label that? Do you go like, oh, this is the Outer Banks shells, these are the Myrtle Beach shells, or just kind of like whatever? Like, how does that work?
No, I don't label them, but I feel like I could. That's actually a really good idea. I should write like a little memory, a little note on the back of them. But yeah, we've got like a really cool one from Galveston, Texas. When we lived in Louisiana, we always went to Galveston.
Nice.
And got some from Florida, and then Outer Banks. We've got some from what is that? Chincoteague Island in Virginia, which is a really cool spot. So yeah, all over.
Yeah, I can't say I visited North Carolina. Oh, actually, I take that back. One time I went to an ex-girlfriend's family Thanksgiving in it said Raleigh, but to me it looked like Wake Forest on the map. But that's the one time I actually been to. Usually I drive through it because I lived in New York at the time and my school was in Florida and I used to just drive through it. What is the best thing a fan or an admirer has ever gotten? A gift, a show of appreciation, a plaque?
What's the best gift? Oh, wouldn't that be great? With a plaque in front of it. No. I'm trying to think. Gosh, I feel like one of my old former employees, we're still super close. Her name's Lydia. Lydia was like the best gift giver ever for Boss's Day. She always got like super meaningful gifts for me. One time she got me this custom coffee mug that had a like watercolor painting of my dog on it. And I just thought that was like the sweetest and cutest thing ever because she knows I love my dog Trooper. So yeah, my husband and I still use that coffee mug every morning.
as somebody who has dipped into the $5 Starbucks card well too often, having something personalized is very important.
Yes.
I got two more for you. I'll get you out of here. I know you're a busy person, but what is your favorite junk food? Because everyone has one.
I, yeah. It's a danger. It's a slippery slope when we get on the Little Debbie's train. Okay. Like I'm a sucker for it. Like if we're standing at the grocery store and we're about to check out, I'm just like, but look at that honey bun. Like, I kind of feel like it's calling my name, or, you know, look at like the Nutter Butter. Like, I'm like, I think I need that. Like, I'm totally a sucker for that.
Oh man, Little Debbie's, of all the brands, that was my favorite. I was a zebra cake guy myself.
Yes. Love the zebra cakes.
Shout out to Sugar. And one more. Everyone, do you believe in days off? And if so, how do you spend your days off?
Yes. I think everyone needs a reset, a recharge. I don't understand people who don't use their PTO. If you have it, there for a reason, right? It's there for you to take a break, to recharge, to take care of yourself, to enjoy your family, to not be working 24/7. When I have days off, I am honestly usually on the boat, at the beach, or just spending quality time with my family. That's really, really how I love to spend those days off. And it really helps me to get back to work that Monday, if I'm taking a Friday off, or whatever it may be. It helps me to show up better. I find that I'm more focused, I'm well rested, and I'm just ready to take on the day, have a new mindset and new perspective. So that's what you'll find me doing on my days off.
That is super important to refill the cup. Hannah, thanks so much for being on the show. If someone wanted to interact with you, or maybe hit up Wayne for some hair care tips, how do you go about doing that? How could they interact with you?
Yes, you can find me anywhere on the Ugly Mug Marketing platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, at Ugly Mug Marketing. You can find us on YouTube too, Ugly Mug Marketing. You can visit our website, or you can connect with me personally on LinkedIn. I believe it's still my maiden name, so it's Hannah Acosta on LinkedIn, but more than happy to connect with folks on there as well.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's kneamsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.